You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to TPC Live this Saturday evening, April the 30th. There is a fantastic article that Keith Alexander and yours truly, James Edwards, will be covering here in just a moment in this opening segment of the second hour. It was originally appeared over at Identity Dixie. It's entitled Sunshine State Supremacy, The Rise of Florida. And that was something that Paul Kersey touched on during his wonderful appearance in the first hour. Really enjoyed that. And so before we get into Florida and everything that's happening down there that should be of interest to you, some things you know about, some things perhaps you have not heard about yet, before we get to that, Keith, how about taking a parting shot on the Paul Kersey interview and some thoughts you might have liked to have worked in during that first hour?
Well, I think that Paul is right, and we're right about this. To put it all and wrap it up and put a cherry on top, we may be going to a great reset, but it's not the great reset that the left had in mind. What I see happening now is that what will the reset be? The reset will be libertarianism. I think that's what Elon Musk is. He's a libertarian. He basically is just an old-fashioned liberal who believes in freedom of speech, not trying to parse it down and limit it to governmental speech or censorship only, but to make it so that it is really effective. For example, we allow people to speak their mind, and now that we have this new technology, he is going to make sure that Twitter at least has a libertarian viewpoint on it. That's what I'm hoping, and if he does, we on the distant right have nothing to fear. In fact, we have everything to gain, because right now we've got a sock stuffed in our mouth. And what will happen is in the marketplace of ideas, our ideas will predominate. The left could not close their deal without authoritarianism. And they've shown their petticoats now to the whole world. They are truly not liberals. They are authoritarian. They are communists. They are cultural Marxists. And because of that, they are not popular at all. They have a lot of power, but now the power is eroding. For example, what if Twitter is the only tech platform that actually takes a libertarian position? Well, guess what? All the others will shrivel on the vine and die. The only way that they had any audience at all was because they were the only game in town. And even then, they had pathetic rating numbers. Now I can see them withering on the vine and going away. We have nothing to worry about in the marketplace of ideas. So I think these are exciting times, or interesting times, as you say, James.
Well, Keith, as I mentioned, another thing Paul brought up was what's going on in Florida. Now, we've touched on it. We'll go a little bit deeper into it right now. Article entitled Sunshine State Supremacy, The Rise of Florida. We have reposted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, so go check it out there tonight, or you can go to its original source over at identitydixie.com. But we all know that the Disney Corporation, one of the most powerful corporations in the world, came out and used their media might to challenge Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida for putting forth legislation that would ban the instruction of sexual education, basically, of any orientation and of all orientations to kindergartners through third grade year old kids. Now, I don't care what kind of sex education they're getting at that age. It's improper. And so did the state of Florida believe that, and that's why they pushed this through. And Disney, because it was so beset upon by the media, Disney originally kept quiet, but because it was so beset upon by the rest of the media and by their undoubtedly woke board of directors, Disney did come out against this legislation. And for the first time that I can remember, you know, Republicans are always so beholden to corporate interest and to big business. Well, they punched Disney right in the head, and they're threatening to, in fact, within four days of DeSantis mentioning this, the bill was on the floor of the legislature. That is unfathomably fast. Florida has a state legislature that marches in lockstep, the Republican side of it, and the Republicans control the state house in Florida. They march in lockstep with DeSantis because, and he's not perfect, because he is a man of action. He is a strong man. People want to be led. Even men want to be led by strong men. And they've got one there in Florida. And as Paul Kersey mentioned, this has already cost Disney $50 billion. And these corporations, Keith, they have to know that there is going to be a price to be paid if you come out in favor of this degenerate and anti-white and anti-Christ, these anti-Christ narratives. And so Florida versus Disney has been very, very interesting to watch. If you want to read more about it, check out that article. It goes into more detail. But that is not all that's going on. Florida has done far more than just smack down a woke corporation. Florida has increasingly divorced itself from the federal Leviathan. Here's just a quick rundown of what DeSantis has done in recent months in Florida. Florida has left OSHA, O-S-H-A, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. All right, they have withdrawn from the National School Boards Association. Florida rejected 40% of the 2022 textbooks approved by the U.S. Department of Education. 40%. Florida Health Department has rejected the gender confirmation care program for minors of the U.S. Health and Human Services. Florida, a judge lifted the U.S. Department of Transportation's mask mandate. When that happened, that was a Florida federal judge that did that, a federal judge from Florida. Florida rejected the COVID-related insanity. Okay, they have recreated their state guard. They put forth the anti-riot law of 2021 in reaction to what was going on with George Floyd and all of those BLM riots. That is a lot that one state has done in just a couple of years to, and I think it was put quite rightly here, divorce itself from the federal Leviathan. A lot of stuff happening in Florida, Keith.
Well, one other thing that I don't believe you mentioned is that they have passed a law that makes it a major felony to deface a public monument. So consequently, all these BLM people that were tearing down monuments and whatnot, this is what should have happened throughout the South. Ron DeSantis basically just has common sense. He knows that Disney is out to get him, so he's out to get Disney, and furthermore, he knows the fruit from the poisonous tree when he sees it. And he's going to make sure that all of the devices that, and strategies that they work, all the implements, the weapons that they have, are taken away from them governmentally. This is a wonderful situation, and Florida is the bell cow, not Texas. Abbott is pale in comparison to DeSantis right now.
I agree with that 100%. A lot of what Abbott has done is gimmicky. What DeSantis is doing has some real teeth to it. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Like my father before me, I've overworked the land. And like my brother above me, who took a rebel stand. He was just 18, mad and brave. But a Yankee, a lady in his grave. And I swear by the blood below my feet, you can't.
Will the South ever rise again? It is not impossible, ladies and gentlemen. I know it looks bad right now. This was this again was something that Paul touched on in the first hour. It's that we were talking about timing and writing it out and tending to our family until a better situation presents itself. But again, the future is not predestined. I know we all would like to go out into the streets, but you can't fight that way right now. Not yet. But until that day comes, we will do what we do. And it is making a difference, and it has made a difference. And one day things can change. Listen, the biggest Confederate rally in the last 10 years took place in Ocala, Florida. 5,000 people with Confederate flags in Ocala, Florida. Right there north of Orlando, Central Florida, which is basically an extension of that whole area. North Florida is just Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, a little bit further south. But going back to what's going on down there in Florida right now, Keith, and of course, folks, we have not forgotten our obligation to fulfill our and conclude our Confederate History Month series tonight. It will wrap up in a light and lively way. We've got two extra special guests coming up. And Keith, you know them both, and we're looking forward to getting to them in the very next segment. So we're going to wrap this up, and then we're going to transition into the last half of the show, which will be our bookend to Confederate History Month 2022. Of course, you know, listen, folks, we'll still be talking about the South throughout the year. We're still going to have international guests on, the likes of which we had on in March throughout the year intermittently, but these two special series in March and April, almost exclusively Southern in theme or international in theme. But we'll get back to the regular diversity in the best sense of the word in terms of our guests and the topics we cover beginning in May. Standard fare for a few months here as we head into the summer, and that's going to be fun too. You know, it's kind of scary though, Keith. It seems like it was just yesterday we were playing all that Christmas music here on TPC, and now we're approaching the fifth month of the year. We are blitzing through this calendar year, and as they say, time does fly when you're having fun, and we have had a lot of fun, a lot of great radio. There is no better radio program in the country than the one you're listening to right now. And it continues to be a joy. It continues to go by far too quickly. I want to tell you, though, this, Keith, about the Florida textbook things we've been talking about. Rejecting 40%, Florida recently rejected 40% of the textbooks that were approved by the U.S. Department of Education. So what happened is, this is for instance, new math textbooks that children K through 5 were getting, because in these math, and I've seen the pictures of it, I've actually seen the illustrations, these math books will have some wonky way to do math that you've never heard of, like, well, you know, this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but not what much. Tyrone needs to know what 9 plus 1 equals, but if he says it equals 17, is he wrong? And, of course, the answer is no, he's not wrong, because he can come to different conclusions that aren't based in Western math or whatever that is. But that is a very slight exaggeration. I did see, for a fact, one of these historically fictitious black women astronauts that actually were the brains behind all the space programs back in the 50s and 60s. That's made it in, on top of course, LGBT and CRT propaganda, as well as Common Core. And Florida says, nope, we're not using them. That's great. It's great to see people fighting back. I hope, you know, we can do better than Youngkin in Virginia. DeSantis, I like certainly better than him. We will see if there can be a man of vision and a man of action that can harness this rebellious spirit that the people quite rightly have.
Well, you know, Paul said that he thought that the panhandle was the best part of Florida, and that got me to thinking, you know, panhandles are great. You know, the panhandle of Maryland is the best part of Maryland. The panhandle of Oklahoma is arguably the best part of Oklahoma. So, you know, who knows? It sounds like a populist wave is on the horizon. And, of course, that is the worst fear of the left. The left hates the people. That's why they hate populism. And it's going to be a, you know, it's an incredible reality that's working itself out here. Now, of course, Twitter is only one company, but DeSantis is linking popular sentiment with governmental power, and that is an irresistible combination. It's like, you know, the old Married with Children theme song, Love and Marriage. Love without marriage is nothing. Marriage without love is nothing. But put love and marriage together, and it's great. Well, that's
it's an institute you can't disparage. An institute you can't disparage is what it is.
And that's exactly what is happening now with governmental power under DeSantis being linked with popular sentiment. I mean, it's an irresistible force. And Disney, I heard Keith Olbermann saying that, well, Disney just needs to pull out of Florida and bulldoze everything down. I mean, while you're at it, give the CEO a gun so he can blow his brains out. You know, that's about the same.
Never happened. Never going to happen. See, they got billions of dollars of infrastructure down there.
Yeah, if they did that, that would be the most suicidal thing. You know, then those guys really are the Dr. Evils, you know, from Austin Powers or something like this, you know, that are intent upon destroying the world, even if they have to destroy themselves in the process.
Well, you know, Keith, I think, though, we shouldn't get ought not be too excited or too forward-thinking on this. It is exciting, but we have to temper all of that enthusiasm, as we have learned to do over these many years of ups and downs. I'm not saying we have turned a corner or that even we can see the corner from here. What we are saying, though, is tend to your family, wait for the timing to align, and it may not happen in our lifetime. Hope that it does. But history is chaotic, and history has not yet been written. I know that's cliche, but suffice it to say, though, the enemy is still extremely powerful and much more powerful than our side is at current. And they have a lot of tricks they can use. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we mentioned this, I think, last week, who leaves a lot to be desired. She has, been on trial in the last few days to see if she will be constitutionally disqualified from running for re-election. This is the sitting United States congressman, or woman, if you will, from Georgia, because I think she said something they didn't like about January 6th. And then you've got the thing, and Keith, you ran into this. They were saying if you had won the primary in your local race that you were not a bona fide Republican, so they were going to throw you off the ballot. And Madison Cawthorn, another guy, I mean, he's kind of silly in a lot of ways, but I would say, you know, we would probably have some common ground with him, at least on social issues. Well, these purveyors of absolute filth and degeneracy, found him in like a party picture when he was a young man and, you know, sort of playing dress up. Oh, well, here's your constitutionally. It was on a cruise ship where you play these silly games that the cruise director puts on. Well, here's your conservative Christian Madison Cawthorn. Look, oh my God, look at him. You know, they're complete filth, but if they find one way, they love to point to people who say they're Christians, and if they do anything that runs contrary to their belief, they have no idea what Christ is or what the Bible says or any of that. I mean, they're
spawn against of Satan.
Yeah, well, but then you know, they love, as wretched as they are, anytime they think somebody's tripped up, they love to point out, well, yeah, this is Christian. You know, so look, the enemy is powerful. They got plenty of tricks. They Cawthorn and Marjorie Taylor Greene been in the news this week for those two occurrences, but listen, the future's still fraught with peril. But we have hope. We have hope. We've always been happy warriors and glasses half full type warriors here at TPC.
Look, in the marketplace of ideas, we will win. We have the better mousetrap here on the distant right. And I'm if Musk turns out to be what he has advertised himself to be and doesn't allow himself to be browbeaten by the left into backing off of these positions, the left is finished. I mean, the left is going to be consigned to a mental hospital somewhere, basically. You know, that's which is where they belong.
Well, that's what I was saying to Paul. Listen, if we ever get power, these people have to be thoroughly routed. Not because we disagree with them, not because we're afraid of their ideas, but their ideas are deadly. And we realize that as such. And there is truly, they say this about our ideas, there is no place in America or the world for their ideas. And if we ever have power, I hope we have enough will to drive them down. We'll be back with our first guest, Mr. Confederate Man. You'll learn about him tonight. Interesting young man. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Robin Hood Investment Company is laying off about 300 employees. That equals 9% of its full-time workforce. The CEO called it the right decision to improve efficiency and to make Robin Hood more responsive to its customers' changing needs. The company went public last July, and its value peaked about $85 a share. Wednesday morning, it's just over $9 a share on the NASDAQ. Beijing, China is setting up for a potential lockdown as a new COVID outbreak has been detected in the area. Residents are stocking up on supplies, and authorities have ordered 20 million people to take 3 mandatory tests this week. A month into Shanghai's lockdown of 26 million people is the most intrusive in a civilized society. People have been forced into their homes, waiting for the government to bring in supplies. NASCAR racing is in Dover, Delaware this weekend. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. I started my first business in the basement of a factory over 30 years ago. We had no heat and no air conditioning. Instead of customers, our office visitors were rats, birds, flies, and snakes. Our office flooded often, and we used blankets as our office walls. We were broke and needed customers. Years later, I formed my fifth successful business, Patriot Software, which has attracted tens of thousands of customers with our easy accounting and payroll software used by accountants and non-accountants alike. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of accounting and payroll software free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
Ukrainian refugees are welcomed in America.
A new poll shows Americans overwhelmingly support welcoming refugees from Ukraine. The Gallup poll out Tuesday finds 78% of people surveyed say they would approve of allowing up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees into the United States. A process to do that is getting underway. This is one of the highest levels of support for admitting refugees Gallup has found in its polling about various refugee situations since 1939. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Good news for flight attendants over at Delta.
Delta Airlines announced on Tuesday it will start paying flight attendants during the time that passengers are boarding. That's a first for a major U.S. airline. Flight attendants in the U.S. typically don't begin getting paid until the doors close after boarding. Delta said the change will take effect in June.
That is Katie Lewis reporting for USA Radio News.
Mr. Confederate Man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland, Mr. Confederate Man.
I want to thank all of the wonderful guests who have joined us throughout the month of April as we celebrate our annual Confederate History Month series. And we're going to be introducing you to a new voice right now and for the remainder of the hour before we wrap up this entire series with a light and lively third hour. But we've got Mr. Confederate Man on with us now. This is a young man who is a son of the South, though was born up in New York City. He became racially conscious and adapted to his strong Southern identity at an early age while dealing with the anti-white and anti-Southern cultural institutions forged in a hostile environment there in NYC. He is the host of Southern Secessionist Sanctuary, a new program linked to the League of the South, and is dedicated to honoring his Confederate ancestors and reviving the South. So now, for the first time on TPC, Mr. Confederate Man, how are you?
Very good, James. Thank you for having me on. I am deeply honored. We have such a corrupt media in this country, and it's good to speak to honest media such as yourself that are that aren't waging war on white people.
Well, that's for sure, and I appreciate the opportunity to have you on. I know that Keith has been on your program a couple of times, and we'll get all the contact information for that in just a moment, but you've been a longtime listener to TPC, have you not?
Yes, I have. I've been listening ever since 2016, and I got introduced to it by a few pro-Southern types of people, and they told me that this was the podcast to get into, and I noticed you posted David Duke, a childhood hero of mine, so I figured I'd fit right in and listen to it, and it's been a remarkable program, and you've done a great job.
Well, thank you for saying that, and here you are now doing your own as well. But before we get into that, let's talk about that. So, you were still in what, your late teens, early 20s?
Late teens, yep.
Late teens, wow! Certainly the youngest guest we've had on here in a minute, to be sure. Tell us about your upbringing. Now, you write you're a son of the South who was born in New York City. How does that happen?
Well, my parents moved up here during the 80s. Because they had these pie sky dreams of making it big during the Reagan years. And my father's side was from South Carolina mainly, and my mother's side was from Tennessee. And like you, Keith, and Dr. Hill, I had ancestors who were at Shiloh, and mine did not make it back. And my parents had Southern cultural ties. They liked a lot of the Southern music, food. They bonded over many different commonalities living up here, and they raised us in the North, but with a little bit of Southern influence. And when I learned about my Confederate ancestors, I realized that I want to be brave like they were and fight for my people.
That is actually very fascinating to me. So both parents are Southerners. Obviously, you've got Southern and Confederate lineage going back, but you just so happen to be born up in New York City. So you become racially conscious. We read through this just a moment ago. You become racially conscious. What's it like having these sentiments in a place like New York City?
Well, it's pretty bad because there are hardly any white people to be around. And before the pandemic, A lot of the whites that were there were more of like the I don't believe in race types, and you have many different ethnic groups all at war with each other over every single thing you could imagine, and it produced physical fights, verbal fights, and it's like the Tower of Babel, and you can't really build any type of community there. I have been slandered a lot for my beliefs, and especially being outspoken when I was way younger. So a lot of us have had to go into hiding and be kind of operating underground.
You mentioned you are still a teenager, and I really admire that. I was a teenager when I first got started. I mean, barely 19, and then into the Buchanan campaign in 2000, which was the year that I turned 20. So yes, that's when it can certainly start. But when it couldn't have been all that long ago, when did you really begin to identify with the Southern aspect of your identity? Being you're still in your late teens, when did that begin to start for you?
Around 2015, after the Charleston shooting, I went back to South Carolina for a summer vacation, and my family was responsible for showing me the entire South and all these different places. My mother put them in charge, and I went, and I noticed that they were demonizing the Confederate flag, and I asked my grandfather why they're doing that. And he mentioned that because there was a guy that shot at the church, and now they're using that as an excuse to demonize the South. And when I saw the flag get taken down, I was very upset because I was wondering why everyone wanted to hate on our ancestors for something that they didn't have anything to do with, albeit this incident. And when I noticed that Southern identity was starting to become under attack, and that the South is really a wonderful place with good Christian hearts and, you know, holy-minded people, how could the North do such a thing? And I realized that I need to start identifying with my Southern roots more. And the following year, when I went back to school, because I told them my family was from South Carolina, they started making up rumors that I was friends with Roof, and all these types of things to, you know, slander me, and it caused me to resent and double down. And I learned a lot more about my ancestry, and I used the persecution as motivation fuel to learn about who I am and what I'm fighting for.
That's a wonderful testimony. So many people at the very whiff or hint of adversity will run and try to conform to wokeism or anti-whiteism or whatever else their peers are doing. You took the exact opposite way, which is what a man does and should do. And so that's how you have overcome this adversity, by basically embracing it and letting it fuel your, what's the word I'm looking for here, your evolution.
Yep. That's right. And it also gets into the heart of the real issue, and that is whites becoming a minority. Because I learned that if I don't like being a minority in the city, and it's a minority white population, there are hardly any white Gentiles, I can't imagine what would happen if the rest of the country became this way, and I want to stop that from happening.
Dealing with the anti-white, anti-Southern bias, obviously you have your outlet now. We're going to plug that in the next segment, and Keith's been on there a couple of times. I know he was on there actually, in fact, just a few days ago. But outside of that, maintaining a healthy life, work, activist balance, what's your daily routine look like in the big city?
Well, what I generally do is I keep my nose clean. I get up every morning. I like to make myself some steak and eggs. I'm a big fitness guy, so I pay a lot of attention to keeping my mind strong. And then I go to school in the morning. And during my free periods, I actually run off to go to the gym nearby and lift some weights to, you know, exercise and get some mental clarity. Then I will often go eat some lunch and come back and keep working on schoolwork. I'm also doing a series of side gigs to make some extra money and, you know, exploring hobbies, passions, to become a type of Renaissance man, because a leader needs to be somebody who's an example for those who follow him. And that's my weekday routine.
Have you considered coming back home and helping us solidify and fortify the South?
Of course. I've spoken to Michael Hill about this. He's a good friend of mine. I want to give a shout out to him. I've looked up to him like a father figure. Also, I've been influenced by the writings of Brad Griffin from Occidental Descent, to start to advocate for political solutions in the South and getting involved. Like I actually started helping out with Neil Kumar with the campaign, featuring the website and giving him some publicity on my show. And also, I people like Candace Taylor, J.D. Vance, Mo Brooks, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, Southern candidates. Also up north, a man by the name of Ian Smith, because we have a real shot to take back the country if we play our cards right, because the Biden administration has been a complete and total disaster.
Yeah, we've been talking about that tonight, about what's going on in Florida with DeSantis. You know, the hope, relatively speaking, that Elon Musk may give. This is something. It's not over yet. That's what's so fun about life, is that it's never over. As long as we live, so long as one of us breathes, we will hope. And until they eradicate all of our people, flame of Western kind will continue to burn, and from that it can catch fire, and you could have a blaze, you could have a renaissance. We'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
The next day in history class, I put my paper on the teacher's desk. Then she called me up in front of everyone because she said she liked mine the best. As I walked up to the head of the class, my teacher smiled and she nodded at me. Then I saw a tear roll down her cheek as I began to read. I read, Mr. Confederate Man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland, Mr. Confederate Man.
Well, that's our guest right now, for reasons you probably don't have to get too creative to understand. A young man in his teenage years attending university. He's going by Mr. Confederate Man tonight, but it's the work he's doing that we should be focusing on, and certainly we are. I was joking with a friend of mine the other day. We were talking, and so here I am now, middle-aged, 41, been on the radio 18 years. And I said, why did anybody pay any attention to what I had to say as somebody in his mid-20s when I first started the show when I was 24? I said, I couldn't ever imagine listening to somebody half my age and caring what their opinions are on certain matters. And he said, well, it was probably the Buchanan thing. You came in with at least a little bit of credentials. You'd run for office and whatever. And but of course, since then, I mean, we've been tempered by the fire and always come out glowing on the other side and have never been melted and have done a lot and have been through a lot. I mean, certainly quite trailblazing. And, you know, but that was Nats now. That's after all these years. When I first got on the air, I just it's amazing looking back that people gave us the chance. Of course, we were the only game in town back then, and so it was a little bit different. But anyway, I say all that to say this. I would and do listen to this young man right here. I think, as you probably picked up on, folks, in the first segment, this is a guy who I will say, I'm trying to remember back all that long ago, I would say more articulate than I was at that age, and great delivery and speaking with confidence. I remember the first time I was on television as a representative for the Buchanan campaign in 2000, and I've still got the tape on a VHS tape in the attic. It was a local show in Tennessee. It wasn't a nationwide thing, but it was a local show. It wasn't good, but we did our best, and we do get better. But Mr. Confederate Man is already, I think, beyond where I was at that time. So enjoying listening to you. How can other people find your work and do the same?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for the kind words. It means a lot coming from a guy like you who has built a successful radio show. The link to my show is t.me/Confederate1861. That is the website link on that will redirect you to the Telegram page where you can get the radio show.
All right, I will read that back. And that is for Telegram, t.me. T for Telegram, t.me/Confederate1861. Is that it?
Yep, all one word.
All right, t.me/Confederate1861. And I'm actually here in the studio, just went over right there to it. Now, can you listen to your program without being a subscriber to Telegram, or rather without having to download the app?
I think you possibly can. An account will help too, because you can like listen to it, you can download it, but you can listen without. I've heard of people doing that. There are ways to do it. You could also get somebody who knows it, because you're bound to know people who have the app. They could just send it to you in an email or anything like that. And that's how Telegram's a good platform, because there's hardly any censorship. It has, you know, live stream capabilities, and it's a really good platform. You can just take out your phone and record. It's not like you have to have a studio or a camera and all this expensive media stuff.
Okay, and then if people do not have the Telegram app, all they have to do on their smartphone is just go to their app store, and it's free. It's free to download. Just go to the app store, download the Telegram messenger, and then you can get over to Mr. Confederate Man's work, his channel, directly through the Telegram app. Now, if they're on the Telegram app, how do they find you? Same way?
In the search bar, you can type in t.me/Confederate1861. You could also type in Southern Secessionist Sanctuary in the search bar, and you can find the channel there.
Okay, and you just mentioned it. So Southern Secessionist Sanctuary, once again, that's the name of your show. How long have you been doing it?
Well, I've been doing it since October. One of the first guests we had on was Tom Sunick and then Michael Hill. And we've since then had a lot of people on, like Rick Tyler and Keith Alexander, the usual rotation.
I know those guys.
Yep, we have a very solid lineup.
All right, and when does it broadcast? How often?
It broadcasts every Monday from 8 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 7 p.m. Central to 8 p.m. Central. It's a weekly show.
Every Monday once a week?
Yep, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
I got you. All right, so in addition to the
I'm sure it's heavy, with it being entitled Southern Secessionist Sanctuary. It's heavy on Southern identity and honoring our Confederate heroes and ideas year-round, not just in the month of April, but year-round. But what other some of the other topics you're talking about over there?
Well, we talk about defending white Europeans around the world. We are believers in pro-work. We're pro-worker. We are anti-Zionist. We are in favor of programs to help enrich the white population, such as a community building and things like that. We also believe in talking with European nationals and several people like that. Also uncovering and exposing the lies of things like big tech, the coronavirus, the vaccines, illegal immigration, the supremacist state of Israel, all these types of things, the Jewish role in civil rights. We talk about all these types of things, the lies of the Second World War. We have a diverse range of topics.
I can tell. And again, these sound familiar, and you cannot have too many people doing this. You cannot have too many people out there reaching others. They're always going to pick up people that aren't finding it anywhere else. And so as the old saying goes, I'm paraphrasing now, let a thousand flowers bloom or something to that effect. You had talked about creating a strong identity. This was something when you and I were texting back and forth that you had mentioned. How exactly does one do that? Or how, let me put it this way. I don't know if it just comes naturally to some or if it's something you need to cultivate. But if someone was interested in creating a strong Southern identity, how would they go about it?
Well, if you have the bloodline, you need to make sure that you go visit where your ancestors' graves were. You should also learn about your ancestors, learn about the southern state your forefathers came from. And I would recommend when you have your Confederate flag, keep it up at all costs. I remember there was a time during one of my birthday celebrations at my house, I had a private party, and there were BLM mobsters storming through the entire neighborhood during the Floyd riots. And I got told to take my Confederate flag down to not draw attention. And I said, that flag is staying up. I'm not taking my flag down for any one of these anti-white, anti-Southern communists. So that's what we all need to start doing. We need to honor our ancestors, and those that are true to the South will never back down when they are challenged and told to apologize for who they are. And so many spineless Republicans will apologize for who they are. So they don't have as good sense of Southern identity as you have pointed out several times before.
I think we had originally talked to Mr. Confederate Man about having him on last week. And upon further consideration, I thought it would be nice to close the series out with him just to let everybody know that, hey, it's not just the guest that you're so used to hearing on this program that still believe this and are doing wonderful work. There are people coming of age and people just past their formative years, people who are still in college, teenagers that believe this. Now, I see them all over the South, but we're talking to one right here, so everybody can hear it for themselves. And I think that is quite encouraging. This is still something, in spite of just unrelenting pressure for people to distance themselves from their past. Of course, they want you to do that because that's how they destroy you. But it is not working on everyone. And as long as there is that faithful remnant, the South can rise again. Our faith can rise again. Our people can rise again. And so we've got one example of that right here. And it's been a very interesting conversation, certainly. With this young man. So where do you see yourself going? I mean, obviously at this time in somebody's life, I remember back in those times, it's just a blank slate. Not yet, when I was your age, certainly not yet married. I mean, the radio program wasn't even, it was the last thing in my mind. I didn't even start the radio program for another 5 years.
when I was 24. So, of course, at that age, most people don't know where they're going to be or perhaps don't even have a plan. But if you could look into the future, where would you like to see yourself a little bit further on down the trail?
Well, I'd like to join the ranks of the people I look up to, people like you, Michael Hill, David Duke, Brad Griffin, just to name a few. I want to also inspire others to join our cause. And I have other goals and dreams, like learning to, I'm actually applying for a pilot's license right now and learning several things like that so I could be more versatile and help our people.
That is so interesting you said that and funny because there was a year in between the Buchanan campaign ending, or rather my campaign ending for the State House, and when I started the radio program, and during that year I got a pilot's license, a private pilot, of course. But anyway, hey, that's incredible. That's incredible. Hey, listen, Mr. Confederate Man, best of luck to you. Let's stay in touch, and we'll wrap up this series in the third hour. I'm really happy to have
you
on tonight. We'll talk
God
again
save
soon.
The South.
You got it. Amen. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.